Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College presents Liberty Mail with the student fellows of Faith and Freedom.
Hello and welcome to Liberty Mail. I'm Grace Riley.
And I'm Katie Kenline.
And we're coming to you from the Confronting Anti-Semitism Conference here at Grove City College.
We're excited to bring you exclusive interviews with conference speakers, and we hope you enjoy this series. Welcome back to Liberty Mail. I'm Katie Kenline, and we are here at the Grove City College Institute for Faith and Freedom Annual Conference. I'm very excited to be joined by Naomi Schaefer-Riley. She is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. She focuses on issues regarding child welfare, as well as she is a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. She also writes about parenting, higher education, religion, philanthropy, and culture. She's a former columnist for the New York Post and a former Wall Street Journal editor and writer, as well as the author of many books that we love and were named editor's pick by the New York Times Book Review. She graduated magna cum laude from Harvard University in English and Government, and she lives in the suburbs of New York with her husband, Jason, and their three children. Her accolades do continue to go on and on, but we're so grateful to have you here today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Katie. I appreciate you having me.
Yes. Well, we're really excited because she's about to do a panel here at the conference, just be asked questions about campus extremism, the rise and consequence of anti-Semitism in higher ed. And I think as soon as we read your bio and see that you went to Harvard, many people will be interested in maybe what's your take on what we saw happen this fall and then into January with the president of Harvard University that led to her resignation. What was your take on that?
So I just had my 25th reunion last summer, and I would say, you know, the process that has led up to this crisis at Harvard, I think, has been a gradual one. It seemed like it sort of sped up at the end. But over the last 25 years, one of the things that you've seen certainly is a sort of narrowing of the ideologies that professors have at Harvard. Certainly when I was there, you know, it's not like there were conservatives everywhere, but I ran a conservative paper on campus. I was the editor my senior year. And I have to say, you know, there were plenty of people who disagreed with me, but no one, you know, lit our papers on fire. No one threatened us. And, you know, people would accost me in the dining hall and want to have arguments with me, but, you know, that's great. And a few years ago, I got a call from someone. The magazine actually went defunct for a little while, and I got a call from someone at Harvard saying that they, a student who wanted to start it up again, and he said, the biggest problem that I'm having, though, is that anyone who says they'll write for the paper will only do so under a pseudonym.
Wow.
And I just was gobsmacked. I mean, I really could not imagine anyone having said that to me 25 years ago. And he was concerned, the students who were talking to him were concerned both about the way they would be, you know, canceled by other students, the way they would be viewed by the professors, and even about their job prospects. That this, if they said something, you know, politically incorrect or, you know, not woke enough or whatever, that this was going to affect them, you know, 20 years down the line. And so, you know, what that says about the atmosphere on campus, that has been created by the adults, I think is really quite shocking. And so then, you know, you fast forward to, you know, the events this past fall, and what you realize is that the, you know, university, the adults on the university campus, the administration, the faculty are living in this bubble where they clearly, you know, don't understand that, you know, most Americans are not anti-Semites. Most Americans believe Israel was attacked by Hamas and has every right to defend itself. Most Americans believe that, you know, Jews should be able to live on campus and express their religious beliefs freely and without threat. And this seems to sort of come as news to a lot of the adults on the Harvard campus. And so when you saw Claudine Gay, you know, the president who has now resigned, in testifying in front of Congress, what you realized was the disconnect between what she thought were appropriate answers. And of course, you know, I've no doubt she was coached by lawyers and lots of people before she went to do this. But the idea that she thought that these answers were going to be sufficient or that they were going to reflect, you know, the appropriate understanding of intellectual diversity, of freedom of speech, of protecting students from harm on campus, you know, it was clear that she was living in another world.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I think that as we look at, there all kinds of, I know you do a lot of writing on children and across our country, and different issues with that, but having three children, you know, I mentioned I have four younger siblings. When people start to look for colleges, what do you think now is more, what's important for parents to look at when they're looking at schools for their children, for children across the country, maybe Jewish children, what are they going to need to look for? What do they need to know as they're looking into higher ed, their options for the future after high school?
Sure. Well, I have been on college tours recently with my oldest. And, you know, for me, you know, as a Jew, I need to actually care about my kids' safety mm-hmm. on campus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are they going to be harassed? Are they going to be attacked? Are mm-hmm. they going to be assaulted? Are there, and then for everyone, I think, are your classes going to be interrupted? Mm-hmm. You know, this is not just about protesting on the lawn. You know, this is about, you know, physical intimidation. Mm-hmm. This is about people hanging up, you know, Nazi symbols, yelling from the river to the sea, mm-hmm. you know, in the middle of classes. And just really understanding, like, is this a safe in the literal sense, mm-hmm. not in the, you know, do I feel safe, you uh-huh. know, which is sort of the way people have come to use it. Are they safe in a literal sense? And then what is the conversation like on campus? Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to say reasonable things? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you allowed to say unreasonable things is mm-hmm. also a good question. You know, what is the state of intellectual debate on campus? Mm-hmm. Do people feel the need to use a pseudonym if they're going to mm-hmm. say something mildly controversial mm-hmm. or even something that's not mildly controversial yes. in the rest of the country? You know, because that is not an atmosphere where you can learn appropriately and where you can really, you know, delve into these topics and have intellectual curiosity. So I think that's something that a lot of parents need to just understand, that this is a big issue. And then I think the other question is, how much of your child's education and their college experience do you want to be engaged in politics? Uh-huh. Like, I mean, I have friends and I, you know, admire them, but their kids have gone off to, you know, campuses like SUNY Binghamton or the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are Jewish kids and their lives have been taken over by this. They are at mm-hmm. counter protests mm-hmm. every weekend, mm-hmm. just standing silently witnessing the horrible things, the calls for genocide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on some level, I'm glad that they're doing that, and I'm glad that that's, you know, that someone is there to answer that. But I also feel like, should that be their college experience, mm-hmm. that they feel like they have to do this because no one else is going to?
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I think that sometimes what some of the things you talked about mentioned about generally the ideas that are understood across the country, Israel should exist as a country, that most people in the United States are not anti-Semitic. Is there any hope that you see in this? We see things going downhill, seems, in higher education and on some campuses. And to hope, like, do you think that this is just a microcosm, that it's in a space where this has been allowed to, you know, protests have gotten out of hand, there's this ability to say all kinds of things and go unchecked. Do you think that it's just maybe sparked by a campus environment, social media, and that it's not in the rest of the country? Or what are your thoughts just going forward?
Well, I think, you know, there have been some, you know, mildly positive developments that have occurred. Certainly, it's nice that donors have finally woken up mm-hmm. to what is going on mm-hmm. on campus. And, you know, frankly, from my perspective, a lot of Jews have woken up to what's mm-hmm. been going on. You know, to borrow a phrase from Irving Kristol, you know, they have been mugged by reality. Mm-hmm. And the number of conversations that I had post October 7th with people who just had no idea that, you know, Black Lives Matter had this anti-Semitic uh-huh. streak and things like that. I mean, I have tried to be gracious, uh-huh. very much so. But, you know, it's hard not to, you know, yell, I told you so, from yeah. the tops of the roof. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's definitely one positive development. People really, you know, now have seen what the effects of the diversity, equity, inclusion agenda really are. Mm-hmm. They've seen the real face of Black Lives Matter and the undercurrent of anti-Semitism in certain parts of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the rest of America has, you know, had their eyes open to what what's been going on campus. Like, you know, seeing these radicals out there screaming, mm-hmm. you know, not just burning Israeli flags, but uh-huh. burning American flags. Uh-huh. And this has really given them, I think for many Americans, it's probably confirmed what they thought about a lot of higher education. Mm-hmm. But for others, it has opened their eyes. So there's definitely that. In terms of the prospects for the future, I mean, obviously, it's a great concern. Mm-hmm. If you look at the polling, you know, younger Americans are much less supportive of Israel, including mm-hmm. younger Jews, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is a deep cause for concern. And you can see from a political perspective, you know, that they're, you know, Democrats who are really trying to play to that mm-hmm. very progressive, very anti-Israel, very mm-hmm. sometimes anti-Semitic base right mm-hmm. now. And so, you know, you worry like there used to be, you know, if you look at the older generations, a real sort of bipartisan consensus uh-huh. about, you know, the defense of Israel, whatever you think of a particular administration in the country. And I think that, unfortunately, it looks to me like that is starting to disintegrate with the younger generations mm-hmm. and something needs to be done about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're so grateful for all the work you're doing. Where can people find you online? We know we mentioned American Enterprise Institute and Independent Women's Forum.
Yes. So I have a website, naomireilly.org, but also they can .com, but they can also find all my web research at aei.org. where I have a scholar page.
That's so wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we enjoy listening to your talk.
Thanks.
For more information on the Institute for Faith and Freedom, visit faithandfreedom.com.